It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I can't think of a better place to be on Sunday anyhow. And I tell you, it sure beats jail by far. And maybe we'll get out of here in time to make it to a restaurant or something. Do y'all have restaurants here? Outside of McDonald's. It's like Rosebud. And Rosebud, we're so out in the country, we have our stop signs say whoa instead of stop. So, I mean, it's out there. So, I understand, y'all. There's a preacher, he's like, man, I'm going to take a church and somewhere in Oklahoma. He said, they got 50,000 people. I said, he's like, it's not a real big town. I said, well, it's 100 times bigger than Rosebud anyhow. So, we're in good shape. I think you'll be all right. There might be some people need to be saved out there. And so, we'll be in business. John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12, and it is good to be here, and I always enjoy the privilege to be able to preach, and I do not take it for granted. Whenever folks ask me to preach in their pulpit, I promise preachers one thing, I will never hurt your people, and I am not here to hurt anyone. Man, I'm telling you, a preacher who wants to hurt the sheep is pretty dumb shepherd, in my opinion. And but I think that, man, we ought to be helped, and sometimes things don't always feel good when we get help, but I'm telling you, I am here to help folks this morning. And I read this passage of Scripture a while back, and man, it's something that I'd heard so many times, but whenever I read it, I just got excited about it, and I think this is what the Lord wants me to preach this morning. In John chapter number 12, the Bible says in verse number 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And then he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put in it. And then Jesus said, let her alone, against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. You know, I love this passage of Scripture here. And just in those days, a lady would take him and she would put back this spikenard, this very costly ointment, and she would put it in a alabaster box. I know you probably already know this, but I get excited about thinking about this. And she would put this back and she would put it up, and maybe a little bit at a time, and she would store it up, and it would take years to put this up. And so she would put this in a box and she would save it up so that she could give it to the one whom she loved the most. It would be that man who would come into her life who she would soon marry, and it would be somebody. So in other words, when she gave that to them, she's saying, all of my love, all of my financial worth, everything that I have, it all belongs to you. I am yours. And yet she broke it at the feet of Jesus, in essence saying, hey, all of mine and all that I have, all that I am, all of my love, all of my adoration is not given to anyone in this world, Jesus Christ, but I'm putting it at the feet of you. I am worshiping you. And man, what a beautiful, beautiful picture of worship I'm talking about, at the feet of Jesus, giving everything to God. Now that's pretty good right there. And that's what the Lord is asking us to do. Also in those days, it was said that many times if they would put it back and they would store it up, if they did not marry, then they could sell it and they could have a financial way to provide for themselves as they got older. So not only did she give everything she had to the Lord, but basically she said, I have no reserve. I have nothing saved up. I've got all of it. I'm banking on you, Lord Jesus, to take care of me. Now that's a pretty good way to live when we tell the Lord Jesus that, hey, I don't have to put anything back. And I'm not telling you not to save money. That's pretty crazy. But what I'm simply saying is I am not reserving anything, God. If you want it, you take it. It's yours. And that's worship. Son, we're talking about worship in the truest sense of the word. At the feet of Jesus Christ. She took that beautiful alabaster box and she broke it at the feet of Jesus. And she began to worship him. And I just want to draw three simple thoughts. I don't have a whole lot of notes. I don't always, very rarely do I have 5 points and outline and all that kind of stuff. Usually it's just like, hey, we'll throw this out there and see what sticks. So that's what we'll probably do this morning. Man, when I see this lady, we're going to find that she figured out some things that everybody else, they missed it. And there's very few people in this world today, but there are some that have figured out some things that the most of us, we've missed. We've missed it. So this morning, let's pray and we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I pray that you'd help this group of people. God, I pray it wouldn't be Luke Bishop that was being heard, but Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be manifest in this place. Lord, for the next 20 minutes or so. Lord, not a long time. But Lord, for the next 15, 20, I pray that you would work. And Lord, when we get done, I pray that we would worship. That's my desire. I love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. I love the special and the choir that was sang so beautifully this morning. And man, if I be lifted up, and man, just the verses on the wall, I get excited about Resurrection Sunday. I get excited about the fact that Jesus came up out of the grave alive and well. And I get excited about the fact, even more so, that he never died again, but he's alive and well today. And so here we see this lady who is at the feet of Jesus, who was the most powerful man. I got to lose the coat. I was going to be all sophisticated and preaching it this morning, but I can't do it. So I got to get rid of that thing. So here is Jesus, who is the most powerful man who ever lived in all the world. I'm talking about Jesus himself, who is high and lifted up, but rather at the same time, he allowed himself to become lowly as a man like us, who was tempted like us. He became all man and yet all God at the same time. That is who she is at the feet of. And when we think about this lady and she breaks the box, I just thought, just a couple simple lessons from the box. Number one, without brokenness, we are of no use. Without brokenness, we are of no use. She broke that box at the feet of Jesus and the ointment poured out and it filled the room, the odor says. But had she never broke the box, then nothing would have ever taken place. And I think about the day that I got saved as a 13-year-old boy. Buddy, there was a form of brokenness that come over my life because of sin and because of wickedness. Even though I'd never done drugs or drank alcohol or any of those things, buddy, there was still sin in my life and there was a brokenness in my heart because I knew that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior like Jesus Christ. And praise God, he saved my wicked soul from hell. And man, he pulled me up out of the muck and mire of this world and he set my feet on the rock to stay, buddy. He established my goings. But before any of those things could ever take place in my life, there had to be brokenness. That's why I believe there needs to be repentance before salvation can take place. It's turning from the world and from wickedness and from our life to the Holy One, Jesus Christ. There must be repentance. There must be a brokenness. And when that brokenness comes into our life, the Bible says, he who exalteth himself shall be abased, but whoso humbleth himself shall be exalted. Can I tell you something? It's a lot easier to humble ourselves than to allow the Lord God to humble us. I've had it both ways. And I'd a lot rather just humble myself. And without brokenness, we're of no use. Christian, without brokenness, a broken and contrite spirit, one that is ready for God to be used. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Brokenness is a key to success in the Christian life. Brokenness is the key to salvation to get into the Christian life. So this morning I would say, if you are not saved, or if you don't know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, the greatest thing you can ever know is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest person you can ever meet is to have a personal relationship with him. But you cannot have that relationship without brokenness. Cannot have it. Brokenness. Without brokenness, we are of no use. You know, I can't help but think this. When she broke that box, the Bible says that the odor filled the room. Man, here's the disciples, and they're sitting at the table. And they're probably telling fishing stories or this or that. And man, you know how it is when you get a bunch of men in a room? I know how it is when I just get in the room. I start telling stories and then I can't stop. It's like I just keep on telling stories and doing this and doing. Man, the next story's got to be bigger and better and all that kind of stuff. And man, we just have a big time. Well, man, could you imagine how it was when Peter was in the room, buddy? I guarantee you it was on. And I mean, they're telling stories and they're fellowshipping and they're laughing. And man, and also whenever you're talking and there's somebody talking behind you, I don't know why it is, but my wife tells me I always have to go up like three steps in volume to feel like I could talk over that person. And then they come up over me, and then it's like back and forth. So by the time it's over, we're all yelling, and there's a room full of men. We're all yelling at each other trying to tell a story. You know how it is. Go over to a potluck, and I'm telling you, that'd be the same exact way. So here they are at the table. Peter's telling a story. Man, he's going on about all these things that are happening. And Lazarus is there, and he's just dead a few days ago. Now he's alive and well. So he's probably got a pretty good story to tell as well. So they're telling all these stories. And all of a sudden, from the end of the table across from Jesus, if you would, in your mind's eye, just think about it. The Bible says the odor filled the room. And here she was at the feet of Jesus Christ in a form of worship unlike we had seen. And man, she is worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the odor come across the nose of those men that were telling the stories, it was like a hush, I believe, came over the room. And everybody got silent. And all of a sudden they looked to the under the end of the table. But they didn't see Mary. All they saw was Jesus. Amen. See, Jesus was sitting at the table, but Mary was at his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. And I thought, oh my, that's what worship truly does to someone. When we're at the feet of Jesus Christ, hey, when the attention, hey, is drawn away from this world just like it was in that moment, it wasn't placed on Mary, and it wasn't placed on the box, and it wasn't placed in the place where they were at, but rather it was all placed on the Holy One Himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And buddy, when we worship God in a manner like this, my friend, people won't say, look at that guy, or man, he's different, but they'll rather have their gaze and attention all placed on Jesus Christ because He is worthy of our praise this morning. Amen. That's what worship does for somebody. You know, I was working at my brother's house and I was wiring, and man, I'm telling you, I was thinking about remodeling some stuff in my house, but after doing my brother's remodel, I think we'll hold off for about 8 or 10 years. I'm so sick of it, I can't even stand it. So anyhow, we was working over there, and we were pulling some wires up on the ladder, and we were just kind of working away as fast as we work, which ain't very fast. And so we was just working away, and it was just about dark. And man, my kids came in and they were playing around in the house and they were having a great time. Just my boy had a hammer hitting something and my daughter was in there doing something and everything. And man, I looked at Dave and I said, Dave, I smell chili. Now I live just right across the road from my brother's house, about 200 yards away. And I thought, it's cold outside. And I thought, you know what? I cannot believe it. The Lord must be doing something for me or something. I don't know, because my wife must have the window open. And of course, the windows were open on the house where he's at. And I mean, the wind must be just blowing just right to get that chili smell over there. Man, I was getting a powerful hunger coming on, about like I got right now. And I was ready to go eat. I smelled that. I said, son, it's like it's right here in the room with us. I couldn't believe it. So we kept on working. I kept smelling that thing, kept smelling that thing. Well, when I got down off the ladder, my boy came running over there to me, and he gave me a hug. And when he did, I smelt it all over him. He'd been around where that chili was being made. And buddy, even though he left the chili was still all over him. And the Lord convicted my heart. And He said, man, when you're where the chili's being made, so to speak, when you leave me, I'm still all over you. There was a preacher who was in Texas, and he went to this hospital, beautiful, beautiful garden. And he'd walked in the garden until the surgery was over, and he was just kind of praying and talking to folks. And when he came back in, there was a blind man sitting by the door. When he walked back through, he said, the blind man just was looking dead forward, had his dark glasses on. He said, you've been in the garden, hadn't you? And he said, yeah, I have. How'd you know? I mean, he'd been through several doors and he'd come through. He said, I can smell it all over you. When you've been with the Lord, when you've been where the chili's being made, so to speak, when you've been in that place of worship with God, oh, it's going to stay with you throughout the day. It's going to make a difference in your life. I'm telling you, there's nothing like true worship that changes somebody like being at the feet of Jesus and giving Him all that we have to offer. That's what worship is. So the first thought we have this morning is, without brokenness, we're of no use. Number two, wastefulness to some is wisdom to God. The Bible says there that Judas said, why didn't we sell this for 300 pence and give it to the poor? That sucker didn't care one bit about the poor. He wanted to steal the money. But either way, you got to think in your mind, the other disciples were probably thinking the same thing. They weren't thieves. They weren't liars. But in their mind, when Judas said it, they probably thought, you know, he's probably right. We dumped out 300 pence worth of good stuff on the ground. And man, Jesus is just going to put his sandals on, walk outside, and dirt's going to get all over his feet. And he's going to have to wash them again this evening when he gets home. What's the reason we poured this out? You know, honestly, sometimes people in this world, they look at us and they say, why would you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Why would you put money in the offering plate? And why would you spend time in your life working on bus rides and picking up kids and bringing them to church? And why would you invest so much time? My friend, this world looks at it and they say, man, you're wasting so much time. You're wasting so much energy. But can I tell you something? To God in heaven, he looks down and he says, hey, they may think you're wasting your life, but I'll tell you, you got more wisdom than anybody else in this world. By serving him. By living for him. I'm telling you, that's why we keep the buses rolling. That's why we keep handing out the gospel tracts. That's why we keep telling people about Jesus Christ. Because some people say you're wasting your time. There's nothing you can do about this world. But my friend, God says, I can change some things if you just let me. Wastefulness to some is wisdom to God. I was preaching with an evangelist just not too long ago, and he's a good guy, and man, sharp dresser and, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And he wasn't flashy. He wasn't showy. Just a really nice guy. So we kind of hit it off, got to be friends. Their family sang, did a great job when they were singing. And kids were sharp, well put together. And so I was talking to a man in the church that knew them quite well. And he said, you know, he said, this brother, he said, he owned his own business about 4 years ago. I said, really? He said, in fact, he owned his own business, and he said he was making about $200,000 a year at his own business. That's a pretty fair shake right there. And he said he's making good money. His family began to sing, and they were traveling on the weekends, and it was like he was struggling to get home to work. And then on Friday, he was struggling to get out of work to get to the ministry, to the place where they were singing. He said it was a struggle, and he knew he was supposed to sell his business. He knew he was supposed to go into evangelism. He said he went on for about a year, and he said it was the most miserable year of his life, but yet it was the best year his business ever had. And so he took, and finally at the end of that year, he just knew. He said, God wants me in this thing full time. He sold his business, did fairly well, but he spent his money, bought a travel trailer and a truck and everything, and got ready to go on the road. And now, I don't know what he makes, but I dare say it ain't near $200,000 a year. Just guessing. But you know what? He's one of the happiest people you'll ever be around. And he never got up and said, I gave up a $200,000 a year job. Because in his opinion, and I didn't ask him this, but I'm sure he'd tell you this, he didn't give up one red cent. He gained everything. But this world would look at people, even people in the church would look at him and say, you're a fool. But he'd be a fool not to. Wastefulness to some is wisdom to God. I told you I'm not going to preach a long time this morning. So number one, we see without brokenness we're no use. Number two, wastefulness to some, wisdom to God. Number three, waiting to break the box, never a good idea. Waiting to break the box is never a good idea. Here we see in that passage, the Bible says, actually, let me just tell you this real quick. Here, get the picture in your mind first. Here's Mary, Martha, Lazarus, friend of Jesus. Jesus is coming to their house. Now, I don't know about y'all, but we love to host people, have people in our home. We enjoy it. Man, we have workers that come to camp. We feed them at our house. We don't feed them down there at the camp. We like to bring them to our home. And if they have kids, we like to let their kids and our kids go play outside and get dirty and all that kind of stuff. And man, we love having people at our house. We do. So here is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus is coming to their house. Now, at my house, My wife wants my house to look like nobody lives in it whenever everybody comes over. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about we got to sweep all the floors. We got to vacuum all the carpets. We got to take and wipe everything down. We got to dust behind this picture. Even though, why are they going to move the picture? They're guests in our home. But we still got to dust behind that picture because my wife wants it to look like no one lives there. And I mean, it's got to be perfect. All the beds got to be made just right. And I mean, make the bed, goodness gracious, just pull the blankets back, throw the pillows at the top, you're good to go. But she wants it made. And why would anybody even be going in my bedroom in the first place? But she wants them to be made. I mean, she wants the steps all to be clean. Buddy, she wants the house to be just right whenever a guest comes over. I could not even imagine how my wife would be if Jesus was coming to my house. Well, you got to think, Martha and Mary, they's probably working their tails off trying to get ready for Jesus to come to the house. They're cleaning. They're dusting. They're fixing food. They're doing all. Man, I at my house, when it's that wonderful time when, man, my wife will make cathead biscuits or, you know, all these different kinds of things. And, man, we'll have great food sitting there. And there'll be honey to put on them. And there'll be a deer roast in the crock pot. And there'll be all this food there. And the best time in my house is whenever she comes over and she'll just whisper in my ear when I'm talking to somebody and say, "It's ready." That's a good time in my house. That means it's fixing to be on. And so I'll kind of quiet everybody, steal everybody, and we'll pray. And, man, we'll start to dig in. Of course, we let a few of the guests go first, and then I'll jump in the line somewhere. And man, we just start going through. We start eating, and everything is great. So here's how Mary and Martha are working. They're running around. They're busy. My wife never really gets to fellowship with anybody, hardly, until after the food is fixed and everybody is out and you know, kind of done eating, and then she'll come over and she'll start to fellowship. So she didn't have a chance to really talk to Jesus aside from the fact when Jesus came, "Hey, Jesus, how you doing, man? It's so good to see you today. Come on in, have a seat right here at the head of the table. You're our honored guest, and man, we're excited about having you here." And then she went back to working. So everybody is so busy, and everybody's running around. And somewhere in that moment, I don't know where it was. Maybe it was between supper and dessert. I don't think she'd interrupted dessert probably, but she would have done something right, maybe right after dessert. She's, "Wait a minute. Where's my box? I've got to go get my box and spend some time at the feet of Jesus." Martha's busy in the kitchen. She's wondering where Mary's at. Lazarus is at the end of the table, the other end of the table from Jesus. He's talking to the disciples. He's telling them how Jesus raised him from the dead. Everybody's kind of, "Where's Mary?" She didn't get so busy that she forgot to go get her box and break it at the feet of Jesus. She didn't wait. Now think about this. I want you to see this in Scripture. This is pretty neat. First time I saw it not too long ago, and I was like, "Why didn't I ever see that before?" If you've already seen it, just hold on. We'll get excited all together. The Bible says in verse 7, "Then Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this.'" Now, don't all get excited at one time, but here's what happened. When she broke that box and she took time out of her busy schedule and got at the feet of Jesus and she broke it and she wiped his feet with her hair and she took and anointed the body of Christ, he said, "Hey, you leave her alone because she's done this against the day of my bearing." Now you think just a few days later, here is Jesus and he is dead and he is in the grave. And then on the third day, praise God. I love that third day. On the third day, he got up out of the grave alive and well. Hey, on the third day, he was no longer dead but for our sins, but rather he was alive and victorious over the grave. Hey, praise the Lord for that. So here is Jesus alive and well on the third day. Do you remember Mary Magdalene? Mary, they were coming to the grave and they had ointments. And they were going to anoint the body. See, in those days, if a body would stink, that would bring reproach to the family. So people of prestige would constantly be anointed until all the stink was gone out of a body after they were dead. Well, Jesus, had more prestige than anyone who ever walked the face of this earth. So they were going to anoint the body to keep him from stinking. They were going to put these things, these ointments on his body. They were going to put it on by the pounds, literally is what they did in those days, by the pounds. So here comes Mary Magdalene and Mary, and they're coming to anoint the body of Christ. And when they get there, they're talking. They're like, man, how are we going to roll the stone away? Maybe somebody will be there to roll the stone away. And when they get over there, it's already rolled back. And then when they walk in, there's a young man there who says, he ain't here, he's gone. That's in the Greek, all right? He was gone. So they're standing there with their ointment. Their stuff that they were going to put on the body. And they were too late. They missed it. They missed their opportunity to anoint the body of Christ. Because they were just a little bit too late. But Mary, right here, she did it unto his burying. In other words, I believe with all my heart, she knew deep down inside of her that Jesus was going to rise again. Wait a minute. The disciples missed it, and Thomas missed it, and all of those people, they missed it. They didn't realize that Jesus, they heard him say with their own ears that he would die and rise again. They knew from the Old Testament scriptures, which many of them knew very well, that he was going to die and rise again. But they missed it. But Mary, Mary, she broke the box before it was too late. And she had a privilege to worship a holy God unlike anybody else. You know how special it was? The Bible says that all the books and all the world cannot contain what Jesus did when he was here on earth. But yet, this book contains that moment of worship. And the Bible says his word settled forever in heaven. It ain't going away. Forever means like from now until forever. In other words, she will be remembered in this lifetime and the next and for eternity in heaven. Because she took some time out of her busy schedule to break the box at the feet of Jesus. So here's what I would say to you. Don't wait until it's too late. You know, people always talk about, man, they sing about, while the ages roll, we'll keep on praising him. And I'm all for praising him while the ages roll in heaven. But buddy, we got a song that not even the angels can sing here on earth. The song of the redeemed, the song of the blessed, the song of the child of God, my friend. And we can sing his praises while we're here just as good, if not better, than we can when we're in heaven. Because we are redeemed, we're justified, we're saved, we're changed, we're a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, that's our Savior. That's who I'm talking about this morning. So here's what I would ask you is, why don't you join me this morning like Mary did? And why don't we get at the feet of Jesus Christ and break that box before him and say, Lord, I worship you. All that I have is you. I belong to you. All of my gaze, all of my adoration, everything that I have, it is yours, Lord Jesus. That's what revival is. That's what worship is. And quite frankly, that's what the Christian life ought to be. Without brokenness, we're of no use. Wastefulness to some is wisdom to God. And waiting to break that box, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. I'm so glad I didn't wait to break that box of salvation when I was 13 years old. I'm so glad that I decided to follow him. And I don't know what it is for you this morning. But what I'd ask you this is, listen, the Holy Spirit can speak to you a whole lot better than I can. If I try to name things, I'll miss them. But he never misses. If I try to do things to coerce people to do something, it ain't going to last. But if you, like Mary, take time out of your busy schedule, just take a few moments, hey, and get your box, if you will, and get at the feet of Jesus. I'm telling you, it will make a difference. It'll change you. And just like that man who came out of the rose garden, he couldn't see where he came from, but he knew he'd been with the roses. Just like Chet, when he came across the thing, I didn't know that he was with the chili, but I knew this. When I smelled him, he'd been with Jilly. And when you've been with God, there's going to be a difference. There's going to be a difference. So I ask you this morning, would you join me in just simply worshiping him? At getting at his feet. And we talk to people about how to live. All these wonderful things. But I tell people all the time, you'll never learn how to live until you know who to love. So let's get at the feet of Jesus this morning. You may say, I'm a first-time visitor. You know what? It'd be great to get in a place like this and get at the feet of Jesus. This would be a real good place to be your church home. I'm just going to tell you. You say, I'm not saved this morning. This would be a great place to get at the feet of Jesus. Know you're on your way to heaven. Hey, good things happen at his feet. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for speaking to me. And God, I pray that you would, in turn, help all of us. God, my desire truly is not that we leave here and say, man, we had these people at the altar and this happened. My honest and sincere desire is that your will would be done. And Lord, I truly believe for my life, your will is to be at your feet for a little while this morning. And God, I pray that maybe there'd be some other folk this morning who would just say, I got to get at his feet. I got to get with the roses, so to speak. Lord, thank you so much for your word and how it speaks to us time and time again.